chapter 20, where we hear the marvelous account of Jesus' resurrection and Mary Magdalene. And we remember that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Wonderful. It is. It's great news, isn't it? That Christ is truly risen. If I were to say the word orchestra, some things might come to your mind, wouldn't they? Maybe some woodwind instruments, some brass, definitely some strings. But there's an orchestra that's a little different than that. It has some of the same sort of instruments, but it's made up of kids who play instruments that are made completely out of trash. It's called the Recycled Orchestra of Quechura. It's in Paraguay, and Quechura is not actually a town or a city. It's really just a slum that's built on the side of a landfill. And every day, about 3 million pounds of trash are dumped in Quechura. Many families living there are only able to survive because they're able to scavenge from the landfill and resell things to be able to keep themselves going. Kids get pulled out of school so that they can come and scavenge trash from the landfill. And when they do, they find all sorts of interesting things. And they become very creative, creative in ways that they've been able to make things for themselves as well. And they found ways to make instruments out of the things that they found. One 16-year-old girl named Noelia has made a violin out of cans and wooden spoons and bent forks. One of the ensemble's cellos is made out of an oil drum. Another teenager plays a saxophone that he was able to make out of a drain pipe, some melted copper, coins, spoon handles, cans, and bottle caps. Several years ago, this orchestra made a video, and they were hoping to raise $175,000 so that they could make a full-length documentary so that people could hear this story. And not only did they raise that $175,000 and much more, but that video that they made, it went viral. And since then, the Recycled Orchestra has been playing all over the world. The group plays Mozart, they play Paraguayan folk music, they even play some Frank Sinatra. It just goes to show that beautiful music can be made in all sorts of unconventional ways. And God, too, makes music in unconventional ways, with unconventional people, with misfits even. It's you, it's me. All of us, we all fall short of God's will and his ways. But God has chosen each and every one of you to make beautiful music. You might ask what I mean by that. You might say, I'm not a musician. I could say that myself. But the biblical orchestra, look at it, all that we have in the gospel accounts, and not just the gospel, but all throughout the scriptures, this biblical orchestra that God has put together is made up of some of the most unlikely musicians. Take Peter, for example. He denied Christ, not once, not twice, but three times. Or Paul. There was a time when Paul was the biggest hater of Christ that there was, and the greatest persecutor of Christians that there was. What about David? Womanizing, bloodthirsty, yet repentant David. God used all of them to make beautiful music in his orchestra. And today, on Resurrection Day, we add another unconventional musician to this group. Her name is Mary. Mary Magdalene. And Mary begins out as a total mess. That's really the best thing that we can say about Mary in her situation. Not by her own fault necessarily, but Mary called Magdalene from whom seven demons had gone out. That's a mess, right? Possessed by seven demons. That's the biblical number of completeness. Mary here is referred to as Magdalene, not because that's her last name, but because that's where she's from. She's from a small fishing village on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee named Magdala. And Luke is the one who tells us about this demon possession. Can you imagine being in her shoes, possessed by seven demons? Here's how it happens. Here's how any one of us could end up in Mary's shoes. And it happens slowly. Maybe we start out with a compulsion to prove something. We begin a job or a class or a task with high hopes and high expectations. I'm going to show them I'm going to be the absolute best that I can possibly be. And it's all done with great intensity. We arrive early, we stay late, we give it all that we've got. And then, to keep going, we have to do something. We have to deprive ourselves of something else. So we stop exercising, we stop getting enough sleep, we stop reading our Bible, we stop going to church. Maybe we pick up some bad eating habits. And we say to ourselves, I'm going to get back on track as soon as tax season is over, or as soon as I finish this next business trip. And then comes the denial. People close to us begin to see things that we can't see. We have less joy in a hobby or in a sport or in life in general. We often get tired. We begin doing things that get us nowhere and in fact just put us further behind. And eventually we become disengaged. Life becomes just simply a checklist of things to do, one thing after another. We live for that next vacation, and then that vacation never lasts long enough. And now people who don't even know us begin to see that something's wrong. Our survival skills become unhealthy. Too much internet, too much eating, too much sleeping, too much shopping, too much caffeine. And in the end, we become robotic. Just going through the motions. We play the part, we may be good, put on a good face, but we've got nothing left in the tank. And at that point, we've hit rock bottom. We internalize everything, we talk to no one, and we can feel as though someone or something else is controlling our lives. Now you can maybe imagine how we get there, how we get to where Mary was, where demons were what was in control of her life. We can all end up in a mess like Mary. We can all get down and depressed. Maybe we've even hit rock bottom. Do you know that 20% of people on disability in this country are on disability because of severe depression? Did you know that despite being the richest nation in all the earth, the United States is, according to the World Health Organization, also the most depressed nation on earth? I can get depressed just thinking about the statistics about depression that we have in this country. Did you know that since 2016, depression among American teenagers has increased 300%? When people, teens and adults alike, hit rock bottom, it may seem that there's no way up or no way out of any of that. That's Mary's problem, and it's ours as well when we don't seek help from the only place where help can actually be found. Mary was down, but her Savior lifted her up. She received assistance from the only place where true help can be found. Jesus lifted Mary out of her pit of despair. That's why Mary Magdalene was willing to follow her all the way to the cross. That's why she was willing to stand there at the foot of the cross and watch him bleed and die. She saw her Savior. She knew her Savior. And Mary's Savior is your Savior too. His face, the face of your Savior, is not one that we might expect. It's one that's covered with spit and blood. His throat is so dry that he can't swallow. His voice is so hoarse that he can barely speak. To find the last time that Jesus received even a drop of moisture on his lips We have to rewind the clock 12 hours from his crucifixion to the time when he was in that upper room. Since drinking from that Passover cup, Jesus has been betrayed, he's been condemned, he's been mocked, beaten, and crucified. No liquid was there to quench his thirst. And it seemed as though our Savior had no song to sing, no music to make. That's how things stand right before dawn on Sunday morning. There had been so much hope, so much promise. But now, what does it all come to? Nothing. The famous rabbi is dead. His disciples, they're in hiding. His followers, they scattered. One of them, Judas Iscariot, has even killed himself. Mary Magdalene gets up early on Sunday to anoint Christ's dead body. But the body isn't in the tomb. And Mary does what any normal person would do in that situation. She breaks out crying. She tells her story, first to Peter and John, and then to the angels, and now for a third time to a man who she thinks is the gardener. "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And what does she hear? "Mary." And that voice to her is unmistakable. "Mary." No one has ever said her name with so much tenderness. "Mary." And so she looks up in sudden recognition and she cries out, "Rabboni!" It's Jesus. He's not dead. He's risen from the grave. He's alive. Christ is alive. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen to that. Can you imagine the emotions that must be flooding Mary's heart at this moment as she transitions from the depths of grief and sorrow to the heights of ecstasy and joy? Just when it appeared that everything was over, to the shock and surprise of everyone, the Father raises Jesus bodily from the dead. Mary's song, her symphony of celebration, it commences with great joy. She can't help herself. And Mary's music is a simple five-word song. It's an exclamation that we can all make on a morning like this. "I have seen the Lord." And that word "Lord" isn't just simply a polite way to refer to Jesus, like "Sir" or "Mister." With "Lord," what Mary is actually saying is, "I have seen God. I have seen the King of the universe. I have seen the one through whom and for whom all things were made. I have seen the one who is coming again, riding on the clouds, the King of kings, the Lord of lords." That's why Thomas's confession on Easter evening from later on in John chapter 20 is basically the same, and it has these words, "My Lord and my God," because he recognizes who's standing there in front of him. So what's all of that mean for you today on Easter morning in 2024? It means that there's more to our lives than we think. It means there's more to our story than what we can see right now. It means that there's more for us in this life than just death and taxes. Christ's resurrection means that just like Mary Magdalene, we too have a song to sing. Remember? Remember what I said at the beginning? God loves to make music in unconventional ways. And with unconventional people, too. All sorts of people he loves to include in his orchestra. And so it's time for us to make some music. We've all been given an instrument to play in this orchestra, and we've been invited to join. We just need to figure out what that instrument is. Do you know what yours is? Do you know what it looks like? Do you know what it sounds like? Because you've been invited to play, and play it to his glory. One thing is for absolute certain, and that is that we have a song to sing. And we sing it not only with our lips, but we sing it with our lives as well. I don't know what your song is going to be tomorrow, or the next day, or the day after that, or how you're going to sing it with your lips or with your lives. But today, our song is all the same, and it's a very simple one. And it's this. It's, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I pray, I hope that you know that as well, that your Redeemer lives. That's our simple song for today. And so let's sing it together. Amen. Amen. But before we sing that song, one more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Let's sing together.